Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. My name is James Stevens, journalist and West Country correspondent. Any week we've got racing at Cheltenham is a good week, and we'll be looking at four live ITV races from Cheltenham on Saturday. We've also got action at Doncaster to look forward to. We've got three live races there, and we'll be looking to follow up our 11-2 NAP winner, courtesy of Ed Nicholson last week. On this panel, looking to repeat that success, we've got tips to Graham Rodway, who was in flying form last time he was on the show. Let's hope that continues. Johnny Pearson joins us, the Racing Post handicapper, and Ed Nicholson, as I mentioned there, with his winning NAP with Mr. Van Gogh last week. Ed, we'll come to you first. Before we get stuck into the Saturday action, Unibet are involved in the Middle Distance Veterans Series race. It looks an absolute corker on Friday. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, absolute fantastic race. It's the second year of the series. It's a five-year deal we've done with the Jockey Club. It gives the old-timers, the 10, 11 and 12-year-olds, a chance for another day in the sun, and at the same time helps the connections bag a big pot of gold as well. So the final's worth £100,000. And this race at Cheltenham on Friday is worth £40,000 alone. And the runners are fantastic. It's exactly why we instigated this kind of race. We've got two previous Cheltenham Festival winners, of the last 2 years of the 2.5 handicap chases at the festival. We've also got Elvarada Allen, who was contesting grade ones for most of his career, but has gone 15 races without winning. And he's exactly the type of horse that this race was started for. So he's got a great chance of bouncing back to form. And we've got the final winner from last year, Numitor. It is a great race, and it's live on ITV. And it's around about 5-1 the field at the moment. So really looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's just Friday. Let's move on to Saturday's where we start. We're racing on the new course. It's good to soft as it stands. It's been a nice dry day here in Cheltenham. Let's go on to the first race, which is our big race. This is the 115 and Nightimber December Gold Cup. Big race to kick off the week's show. And we've got last year's winner, Fugitive, at the top of the market at 5-1. Stage Start, 11-2. Madara, 11-2. Garlore, second in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, 13-2. He beat Il Redotto, who's 7-1, looking to become the first horse to do the double in the Paddy Power and December Gold Cup. Let's go to you first, Graham. It looks a competitive enough race, this. Fugitive at the top of the market there at 5-1. Are we with him for a repeat bid, or are we looking elsewhere?
Yeah, bidding to do what he did last year, isn't he? After a bit of an eye-catching run in the Paddy Power and then come on and take this one, and no doubt has been trained to do it. So you'd expect him to take a big step forward. And this race is littered with horses, isn't it, down the years, who have been beaten in the Paddy Power or run well in the Paddy Power, and then made the step up to come and win this. Horses like Exotic Dancer, I think Warthog was third, wasn't he, in the Paddy Power before he came on to win here. Cool Cody was in the Paddy Power. I mean, it just happens time and time again. The one that I like is Horse that was beaten in the Paddy Power, but it's not Fugitive. It's the one who finished just in front of him, Madara. I thought it was a big eye-catching run, wasn't it, on the debut for the stable, first time for the Skeltons, first time at this sort of distance as well, and kept on in eye-catching fashion, I thought, from the last to finish fourth behind Il Redotto. I think they'll ride Madara a bit more confidently now that they know that it gets the trip. And I think you'll see a big step forward. And, you know, these Skeltons don't miss, do they? I always say Mullins doesn't miss. But when it comes to Britain, I mean, we saw it last weekend at Sandown, one after the other after the other, Skelton winners going in. And you can just set your clock by them. You can trust them to get them right on the big day. So good enough for me, Madara.
Madara 11-2, winner, of course, at the meeting over 2 miles last year when trained by Sophie Leach. Johnny, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I can see the obvious reasoning for going with Madara and Fugitive, obviously taking the same route as onto winning last season and a pound lower this time round to get it done. But I've come down on Gemirand for Venetia Williams. I mean, you know, you can arguably pick some holes in an Ascot form for the win last time out, you know, had the run of the race from the front. But couldn't have been more impressive. Quickening well, pulling well clear when any other horses came to him. One with loads in hand. And, you know, value for more than that winning margin of 7.5 lengths. And I think Venetia Williams Day was in very good form. We saw Jello won the Peterborough Chase at the weekend. And I see the 12-1, I think that's an absolutely great price.
Yeah, and just also got you, Johnny. I mean, we mentioned Fugitive, Stage Star's in there, Garlaw. How do you look back on the Paddy Power form and also Stage Star as a chance, given he's top weight and he's excellent record round Cheltenham?
I mean, you know, they've all got good form. I mean, Paul Nicholls have found a bit in and out all season, so I'm struggling to fully trust his. And then obviously you got the entry round last time out. I thought Stage Star was okay, but didn't think it was the best of races in there with Manila Drama and Hitman and Hoist and you. I was actually a little bit disappointed there. And, you know, you can see him improving coming on, but I'd rather be looking elsewhere at the Benicia horse.
Yeah, sure. And as always, we invite you all to comment your fancies for this race. A compelling race. You can really make a case for almost all of them in the field. Ed, what's your thoughts here?
Well, first of all, it's a cracking renewal, isn't it? What a race. So many, not just course winners, but course and distance winners, which makes it really difficult to look at. It's a real conundrum. So the fact we're going money back second or third as cash is a good start, because there's every chance you will hit the crossbar here. I certainly think I might, because I don't really fancy anything really strongly. Obviously, the Paddy Power holds the key, you would think, with the first, second, fourth and fifth running. But you mentioned it earlier on, Stage Star is, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent. And this horse is class. He's a top weight in the race. He was contesting the old Roan Chase last time out when he did disappoint, let's face it. But he was 2-1 favourite to beat horses like Hoist Senor and Hitman and the winner of Manila Drama. So I'm going to give him a chance on a course and distance that he does like. Paul Nicholls is a master with these type of horses. He does have a rating of 162. He does have to give a lot of weight away. But I'm just hoping that, you know, class is permanent and Stage Star can get back on the winning thread at a track he's won three times at before. But it's a difficult race.
It is indeed. Stage Star for Ed at 11-2 at the current odds. Let's move on to the second race on ITV. This is the 225, the BetMGM handicap chase over 2 miles and half a furlong. A week on from his Tingle Creek form, we get to see Master Chewy again. Johnny, is he going to make it a winning return?
I mean, I hope so. But it's difficult. I don't like backing horses that have fallen before last time out. But I do think he holds a huge class edge over the rest of the field here. I think Master Chewy will be too good. Liberty Hunter, I don't think he's going to win on reappearance. I think he's too short a price in the betting. And for all I really fancied him at Cheltenham last year, and he arguably got found out by a handicap plot from the Skeletons, I think he's far too short a price in the betting. I'd rather take on Master Chewy. That Ascot form's pretty solid. You know, okay, you can look at the form with Issa Dairy, but he's a couple of pounds better at the weights now. And I think he'll be able to outclass him. And then third time lucky, God knows what horse is going to appear there. You know, he was looking really good a couple of years ago, but then obviously had some issues. And now with Fergo O'Brien, and it'll be just interesting to see how he runs.
Absolutely. I mean, horse who was talked about for the Arkle at one point when he was so good around Cheltenham all those years ago. Let's quickly spin through the market. We've got Liberty Hunter at 9-4 favourite. Master Chewy, the selection of Johnny, at 5-2. Is there Dairy, 9-2. Third time lucky, we just discussed there, 7-1. Triple Trade at 7s and Etalon at 10s. Those are the current odds. Ed, we've got industry best price for this race.
That's right, James. Yeah, it's a fairly new initiative we're running, where in this particular race, it's one race every weekend. We go industry best price from 9 a.m. on the day of the race. So this race is that race on Saturday. So you won't get a better price anywhere in the industry from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Whatever's best price, if we're not best price, we'll match the best price. So it really is the only place to come and shop on Saturday for this particular race. I thought it was an interesting renewal. I understand why there might be some reticence about Liberty Hunter on debut. I just think he's got a class edge here. I think he's an improving horse. He came second at the festival, didn't he? And he ran third at Aintree, marks of around about 139. He's on 144 now. He's still a young horse. He's still relatively inexperienced. And as long as Evan Williams has got him ready, and you would have thought he would be ready for this kind of race. I'd expect him to go really, really well, be my selection. And I'm surrounded by by three journalists here, but I love Liberty Hunter because it's a classic example of dittography. Do you know what dittography is? It's where you erroneously put a letter, an extra letter or an extra word in a phrase or even a phrase. So Liberty Hunter should, unless I'm mistaken, should be just one B, shouldn't it? It's got two Bs. So it's a great case of dittography, one of my favourite words. But Liberty Hunter hopefully won't make an error himself and will go on and win this second race.
Nicely judged there. I could see what you're doing there. So Liberty Hunter with his extra B at 9-4-4 Ed. Graham, I don't know if you've got any nostalgia or such to throw into the mix in this one, but Liberty Hunter, the right favourite. I mean, he was to me the horse that you had to take out of a Grand Annual. I thought if they ran the race again, perhaps things might have worked out. Definitely, he was the eye catch. He's the improver, but is he going to win on his first start back?
He might, it never really worries me coming off a long layoff with Evan Williams. You know, he gets them pretty fit first time, and yeah, I mean, it looks like a really, really good opportunity for Liberty Hunter. Interesting, you learn something new every day, isn't it? You know, I had no idea what that meant when Ed came out with it, but now I'm going to be using it all the time, lithography. I'm a bit like Johnny or Master Chewy. I thought he had a pretty hard fall, you know, only last week. And I'm always a little bit worried about that sort of horse. I'm torn between a couple. I know there's only six in it, but I tipped Third Time Lucky at the start of the week because he's really well handicapped on his best form for Dan Skelton. He absolutely loves Cheltenham, all of his best forms there. You think he's 7 or 8 pounds lower than when he was 4th or 5th in the Grand Annual there last year. So he's quite well handicapped if he can come back to his best. And he didn't shape too badly for a long way on his reappearance. However, I did on this show, and I did a tip on this show and back, it was called Isar Dairy last time at Newbury. And he got absolutely smashed in the market, went off 2-1 favourite. And nothing seemed to go right for him. He got in trouble in behind him, didn't jump very well. He didn't get a clean run up the straight. He still finished 4th, wasn't beaten that far. You know, he's a really well handicapped horse and got Freddie Mitchell back on claiming £5. So, I mean, there's only six in it, but they're not bad prices, Isar Dairy and Third Time Lucky. So I might have a bit on both.
Okay, taking on the top two in the market is Graham with Isar Dairy and Third Time Lucky. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock. This is the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 contest where we get to see the brilliant Skyjack Hijack. What a story he's been this season, aiming for a 7th consecutive win. Quick spin through the market. He is 7-4 to make it 7 in a row. We've got Clondor General Unbeaten for Kim Bailey, 11-4. Western Knight for the Tizards, a good record in this race, 7-2. JetBlue for France, 9-2. And a Pout Dam Time at 12-1. Let's start with you, Ed. Skyjack Hijack, I mean, what a great horse he's been this season. You'd love to have this horse, wouldn't you? It's just everything you'd want. Goes out there week after week and puts in some brilliant performances. But might still have a lot more to offer.
Yeah, you just don't know, do you? I mean, he goes to the front normally and jumps for fun and outstays them, which if you're running at Cheltenham over 3 miles over hurdles, that's exactly what you want, isn't it? Someone that doesn't mess around, jumps from hurdle to hurdle, and just look at his form figures. I mean, they're unbelievable, aren't they? I notice he has won a lot of his races on good going, and he's been taken out on soft on a couple of occasions, although he has won on heavy at the beginning of his career. And it's good to soften at the moment. And I did also note in the excellent Racing Post analysis that after his last run, they said they might miss out the next few months and come back for the spring, which again suggests to me that they want the good ground. So if it did come up at softer than good to soft, that would be a slight worry. And the fact that they're coming here for this race when they, according to the Racing Post, were going to kind of miss out the winter months is something to think about if you're backing this horse at 2-1 or under. But you've just got to go for him, really, haven't you? I mean, he's proven it. They're all novices, but he's a more experienced than the novice than a lot of the others. You know, Clondor General and Western Knight have done their winning and could be anything, to use an expression that's awfully used a lot of the time. But I think Skyjack Hijack, you've just got to go with him. Unless the ground was soft, I'd be a little bit worried there, given what I've just said. But yeah, Skyjack Hijack. We're going super boost in this race as well. So each horse will be priced that, whatever you back, sorry, will be the next price up on the ladder.
Yeah, interesting thoughts regarding Skyjack Hijack. Johnny, I saw you nodding along when I was talking about him and we going for win number seven. I assume this is you're quite a fan of this horse.
Well, I mean, he keeps winning and he keeps winning really well. There's pretty much nothing to not like about him. And Clondor General, and you don't know how good he might end up being. The same with a few of the others, but on everything we've seen, they've all got to improve quite a bit to be getting anywhere near Skyjack Hijack. I do understand the concerns with the ground, but I don't feel it's going to be too soft. But obviously, by this point, we'd have had Friday's racing, and they're going to know. And if they think it's too soft, you'd expect them to pull the horse out. But I think it's a race that looks weak enough on paper, and it's going to take an awful lot of beating here. Obviously, you've got JetBlue coming over from France, who I think might be better than some of the form RPRs we've got there based on some of his form, but East needs to improve still, as do the rest of them. Skyjack Hijack wins.
Yeah, how far do you think this horse could go? I mean, this is a grade two, obviously. I mean, Ed's mentioned some of the spring targets. I mean, is he a legitimate player? I mean, it's not a strong division for the British. He's got to be right up there, surely.
I think on good ground, you'd probably have him up there, but I mean, it does look quite a weak grade two. So, I mean, it's a very good opportunity, I think, they found here. It must be said.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly what Ed might have been alluding to. I've seen the opportunity and thought, why not? Graham, are you with the favourite?
No, although I do have a lot of time for him. Yeah, it's great to see Hawks run up a sequence like this. And I mean, it reminds me of the old Martin Pipe days, the way that he wins, he blasts out in front and then he's got like million one by name. I used to love those Pipe horses. They were just hard fit and they'd go out in front and you wouldn't catch them. And just like watching them, he jumps well, doesn't he? I mean, it's great to see, but this is a good bit tougher, I think, than what he's been taking on personally. I know that Johnny says it's not great grade two, but I mean, it's got quite a good history, hasn't it? And some good horses have won it down the past. Black Lion, and you know what I mean, Harry, and I think Coney Green might have even won it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So it might not be as bad a race as you think it looks now. I am tempted by About Damn Time. Now, Oliver Greenall and Josh Guerrero, they have got 15 horses entered over the next couple of days all over the place. That must be a good chunk of their yard. So they must think that their horses are gonna hit form. And they don't run horses at Cheltenham very often, and when they do, they usually run well. They've got 21% strike rate at the track. You know, they could have chosen to go anywhere up north with this horse, About Damn Time, but you know, why come to Cheltenham and compete a grade two unless they thought he was up to it? It doesn't make any sense to me. He comes in after on the back of one win, beat one of those John McConnell horses with the front 2 miles clear of the rest. He's open to loads of improvement going up in trip, and I just thought he was an interesting runner at double figure odds. So I'm on About Damn Time.
12-1 he is, and you're quite right regarding Coney Green, winner of this race in 2012. Perhaps the 12-1 shot for Graham in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham. Let's move on to the last race we'll be looking at. This is the BetMGM Mares Handicap Hurdle, where we've got a Nicky Henson trained runner at the top of the market. We've got Joyeuse, who has looked like a very promising horse. This could be absolutely thrown in off 119. Nicky Henson won this race with Dame de Compagnie in 2019, who went on to win the Coral Cup. Potentially, we've got another real live wire on our hands. Quick look at the market. She is the 9-4 favourite, Joyeuse. We've also got Georgie Girl, 6-1. Take No Chances, 7s. Pretending, winner at Cheltenham at the April meeting last year, 10-1. Royal Margot, 10-1. And Sweet Fantasy for the informed James Owen team at 11. Graham, I mentioned that favourite there, Joyeuse. I mean, 119, surely she's got to be better than that. I mean, the form with Taunton looks very good. And, I mean, pedigree to die for as well. Is it just straightforward in your mind?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely all over this one, James. I mean, this could go off short and win without coming off the staff, couldn't it? I mean, this could be absolutely thrown in this Joyous. Was a bit of an eye catcher as well. I thought Ascot was well fancied for that race behind Celtic Dino, travelled quite nicely into the race, but didn't really finish off as you'd expect. But I mean, entitled to come on significantly for that first run back, and a mark of 119. There's every chance that this horse could be 20-30 pound well in. Henderson, he always gets going at this time of year every season. Obviously had John Bond last year. Again, he's another trainer that's got loads out tomorrow and Saturday. He'll be banging them in soon, and this might be one of them. I'm all over this James Joyous. I think it'll go off short, and I think it'll win, and I think it'll win well.
Wow, very confident. £30 well in. You don't often hear that. Just one way to go back at you. I mean, this is a horse who's extremely inexperienced. This is a big field handicap at Cheltenham. I mean, is that a concern for you at all, or does class just always come to the fore in your eyes?
No, it's got to be a bit of a worry, hasn't it? And you've got some real hardy old mares in there, haven't you? But that is the point, really. A lot of them are very exposed, aren't they? Whereas, you know, this thing could quite easily be... it wouldn't surprise you at all if she was turning up in graded mares races, would it, by the end of the season? Yeah, and she's running off on 119. I mean, even if she's inexperienced and makes a few mistakes, she might get away with it, James. £30 willing, I'm telling you.
Okay, let's go to the handicapper. Johnny, surely you don't follow the idea of £30 well in. Much more methodical like that, but right favourite? You with a favourite as well?
No, wrong favourite as well. There's no way she should be favourite. Okay, yeah, she's entirely priced on potential. She didn't achieve that much at Taunton. She didn't achieve that much behind Celtic Dino. And it's all very much hype. I'm not saying she can't improve a lot. That potential is still there, but on what we've seen so far, she's got an awful lot more to do to be catching my eye at those sorts of prices. It's not a race I actually had the strongest opinion on, but one that did catch my eye was a horse for Ben Clark called Endless Escape. Out of in behind pretending in April at Cheltenham, running off 119, it's 121 today. Pretending that day was running off 109 and is now 122. And handicap, which is £13 if my math serves me correctly, whereas Endless Escape's only up to two. So that, you know, on those prices, they should be the other way around in the market for sure. And she actually shaped all right at Ascot over too short a trip for her. I think having had that run under her belt in November and now going back up in trip, I think she'll run a big race here at a bit of a price.
Yeah, and as we mentioned in the show last week, Johnny, Ben Clark recently moved yards to next door. Pretty much next door to Harry Fry, and his horses have been improving from it, so can definitely see the appeal for that. Just for you listening in, Graham Rodway had his head in his hands when he was listening to Johnny there, so a clear disagreement on the favourite. But hopefully, Ed, you're going to clarify this. Joyous, yes or no?
Well, I think both of them are right. I think it probably shouldn't be as short as she is, but she is. She just, if you're looking at this race and, you know, you didn't necessarily know the form, but you saw JP McManus, Nico de Boinville, Nicky Henderson on a relatively inexperienced mare in a mare's race carrying 10 stone 10 rated 119, you wouldn't want to oppose it lightly, would you? There might be other horses that are more experienced and have got a better body of form, but yeah, there is so much potential for this. I had a quick look at the Dame de Compagnie comparison. She won this race, didn't she? I think we said, but she was rated 132. She was rated 132, and she won the race at the Coral Cup, I think it was, at Cheltenham off 140, and she was number 21 in the race. So that just shows you know, that Joyous is a long way down anywhere near that standard. But she has got potential, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think, you know, both of them are right. I think she will go off shorter because I think a lot of people will be backing her on potential, and it just looks a very low handicap mark, doesn't it? However, we're going extra place on this race, and I'm going to just put up a big outsider in the same colours, Holly, 25 to 1 or thereabouts. Now, She's had three chases and she's run appallingly each time. I was at Kempton when she didn't take a cut at the fences, and she was, I think she ran, was it, she ran at somewhere that I can't remember now, last time out, only four horses ran, I think, and she came second, Ludlow. I think. Ludlow, that's it. And she doesn't look like she likes jumping fences, which is quite interesting because maybe they believe the same thing. She's coming back to hurdles. She's got a race off a rating of a 1.22, which is her old chase rating, her hurdle rating. She's been dropped to 118 over fences. But I just got a feeling that this race might be run. I'm not 100% sure that she's, you know, entirely straightforward. So if they go off 100 miles an hour here, I just think that maybe she could plod into a place at big odds. So that's my theory. But I wouldn't put anyone off back in the other JP at Manasaw. She does look as if she's been plotted up. But so I'll go for Holly at big odds.
Yeah, Holly, 25-1 with the current Unibet prices. And for those listening in, Ed, you've got a lovely backdrop and hotel at Cheltenham for the big races, but you've somehow managed a fence to sit on. So credit to you there. We'll move on to Doncaster after this short break. So we move on to Doncaster. We've got three live ITV races where the ground is good to soft, good in places as it stands. Let's start with the 205. This is the Bet365 handicap chase where Forward Plan is back for more for Anthony Honeyball. But the race is a little bit tougher with two runners who were meant to run in a Beecher chase last week going here instead, of course, the meeting. Didn't go ahead because of the high winds. Forward Plan is your favourite. He is a 92 shot to win. Gabriel at 9-2 as well. Does he know 13-2? Chasing Fire 7-1. Elvis Mail and Sail Away 10-1 as well as Ballycoose. Let's start with you, Johnny. Forward Plan mentioned there. Decent enough run in the Badger Beer. £12 higher this time around. Is last year's winner going to put up a bold effort, or do we like something else?
I mean, I just think it's a really good race, but one that I've been through about eight times and still can't decide which horse I would want to have a bet on. So I'm actually going to sit it out. But, you know, you've got like Does He Know in there. If he gets back to his best form, he's going to have a great chance. Gabriel's looked good last time behind King Turgeon on his reappearance at Aintree. Forward Plan, I didn't think he was particularly good at Aintree myself, but I don't think any of them looked particularly good in behind Our Dancer, did they? So, and, you know, you can make cases for lots of them. You've got Ballycoose, who was second up in the Scottish, what race was that? It was the same day as the Scottish National, I think, wasn't it? But yeah, so you've got lots of good film. Elvis Mayo won last time, but I felt I could make a case of too many, or there were too many negatives for each one, whichever way you want, however you want to spin it. And I will be sitting it out myself.
Yep, sure, that's no problem at all. Graham, you got a stronger view on this one?
Yeah, I think it's a great betting race. Yeah, I tipped Does He Know at the start of the week. I think he's got a really good chance, but he's quite a little bit shorter than he was then. And another horse has come to my attention at much bigger odds that I'm going to back, and that is Charlie Uberalis, who ran really well at this track last season when he was behind Forward Plan. What was the other? Annual Invictus, I think, was the other one. Obviously, that form is really been well advertised subsequently. He's only £1 higher than when he was third in that race. He went off 9-2 for the race, the Grimthorpe that Does He Know actually won last season. He's 20-1 for this one, despite coming in on the back of quite a good run last time out at Kelso when he came from there and shaped quite well, and has probably been trained for this return to Doncaster, given his form at the track. He's got a really light weight. He's actually £3 out the weights. But Diane Sayer is absolutely flying at the moment. String is in good form. And I can see Charlie Uberalis running really well. A big price here, James.
16-1 as it stands with Unibet is Charlie Uberalis. And Does He Know 13-2 for Kim Bailey, of course, winner of the Grimthorpe last time you went to Doncaster. Ed?
Yeah, we're going an extra place in this race, as you won't be surprised to hear. Very competitive handicap chase. I'm absolutely gutted Cruise Control isn't there. He was earlier on in the week, and I thought he had a great chance on a track that would have suited him. But he's not running, so he won't be winning, so I won't talk about him anymore. But I'm going to go for another course winner. It's Does He Know, who I thought had a great chance. The handicap has been a bit kind to him. He's come down £5 in, what, three runs. He won the Grimthorpe, as been mentioned, over a little bit further at Doncaster. And I've always thought Doncaster is very much a course that you do get these course specialists. It's fairly flat, isn't it? It's long. It's the long, galloping, striding horses that meet their fences and just gallop on. And he's obviously liking this course. He's got a chance with the handicapper, as I say, one of the best horses in the race. The only slight doubt is the going. I'd like it to be softer. I don't know if we've got any weather experts here, but it's good to soft at the moment on the Racing Post website. I have noticed that he's shown his best form in a little bit softer. And even his trainer has said that he does like it sloppy. So, yeah, if it was to go softer, I think he'd like it and a few of those wouldn't. So I'll be keeping a close eye on the weather forecast as much as anything. But, yeah, I think he's worth a bet at the prices at the moment. He's getting shorter. 7-1 is equal around thereabouts. He was a bit bigger earlier on when the Shrewdies were on. But, yeah, I think he's got a great chance.
Yeah, a little bit of rain in the forecast today, but... as we record on Thursday afternoon, we'll see what happens for the rest of the weekend. Let's move on to the 240 at Doncaster. This is the Bet365 Doncaster Mayor's Hurdle over 3.5 miles a furlong. A new race added to the programme this year. Just what British racing needs. More races, what people may argue, but nevertheless, it looks quite competitive. We've got an 8-15 favourite in West Balboa. Gail Mayer at 4-1. Ottozini, 7s. Why Not, 15-2. And Fireball Frenzy at 50-1. We'll come back to you, Johnny. West Balboa is odds on. It's interesting that Harry Skelton's not come here for the points in the David Power Cup, I thought, because this could have looked like a bit of a spot kick for him. Is it as simple as West Balboa wins this?
Well, I mean, they clearly decided she didn't really like going over fences, haven't they? You know, the same as with Holly earlier for the John Joe team. I'm finding it very difficult to create an argument which says she won't win the race. I think she's near enough as good a thing, good and near enough as certainty as you're going to get for through most of the weekend, I think. But, you know, at the price, I think Why Not's probably too big a price. But regardless of that, I can't see West Balboa being beat here. I think she'll be far too good.
Yeah, West Balboa, solid favourite according to Johnny. Ed?
Yeah, it's an interesting, wasn't it? Because do you go for the form in the book? She's got the form in the book from last year. The novice chases were appalling. She got beaten at 2-5 at Worcester. So they've obviously decided this is not her game and gone back over hurdle. So do you go for the form in the book, which her rating's based on? She's won off 1-4-1 and 1-4-2 at Aintree, a game which is kind of similar to Doncaster. So do you do that? Or do you go for the unexposed or the lesser exposed horses who are in form and on all known official ratings haven't got a chance? But the fact that they're in form might sway you to look at them. There's a race, recorded on Thursday, there's a race yesterday at Kempton, Unibet-sponsored race called the Wild Flower Stakes. And there was a horse there had come fourth from the 2,000 guineas that had showed so much form, was a stone ahead of everything else, Iden. And the market put him in at 1-2, went off 13-8. And the other two horses who were the improvers, they were the ones that, you know, got the money behind them. And one of them won, Champagne Prince, who went off 2-1 in the end. So it's a kind of similar situation here, I think. There's a horse who miles ahead on her ratings, on a course that should suit, but she's not shown any recent form. So I think you've got to go with her, but I actually wouldn't be backing her at 4-6. I think she probably wanted to miss, but I'd let her win on her own. But I wouldn't be surprised if she got beat. I really wouldn't.
Okay, so the most likely winner, but perhaps not the value odds on to add to any accumulators. Graham, I mentioned there about the David Power Cup. Obviously, jockeys now competing for points. It's worth £500,000. I mean, any sort of idea that Skip Dan, Harry Skelton not coming here? He's gone for Madara and those big chances at Cheltenham. Is there anything to read into that as perhaps a little bit negative? Keelan Woods takes over. Is it just a case of take the points and got to go for the big guns at Cheltenham?
Yeah, I think if you're Harry Skelton, you gotta back up your brother, haven't you, over at Cheltenham. You know, I mean, the trainer's title is the absolute be all and end all, isn't it, for Dan Skelton this season? And I think if you're Harry, you've got to go to Cheltenham. That's where all the big prize money is. He's his man, isn't he? You know, and he doesn't get it wrong too often either, Skelton, does he? So. Nevertheless, I expect that, you know, Skeltons don't miss or whatever. Stick by that rule. I mean, this is odds on. We talked about earlier about Joyers having possibly £30 in hand. I mean, this West Balboa has got the best part of £30 in hand, and we know that she has on her best form. I mean, she's absolutely miles ahead of the rest of these on official ratings, on Racing Post ratings. Any way you carve it up, she's just different class this lot, and she's trained by the right lot, and I don't expect her to be beaten.
It is straightforward as that. That was the 2:40 at Doncaster. We move on to the final race we'll be looking at on ITV. The last at Doncaster, the 3:15 there. This is the Bet365 handicap hurdle, where Alto Belli heads the market at 3-1. Deployed to Spy in great form this season. Frolie Murphy at 4-1. Norman Fletcher, 9-2. Jungle Jack, 11-2. Lily Duberlay, 7s. And Pembroke at 8s. Well, the Skeltons don't miss, Graham. They've got Pembroke in here at 8-1. Is that the one you're siding with, or are you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, sorry, I struggled to get myself off mute there, Josh. I'm going to stick with the Skeltons again. Yeah, I mean, I know that Pembroke has lost his way to a certain extent, but I had him down as a horse to follow last season when he went over fences, didn't he? And I must admit, I followed him over a cliff over fences last season. I was kept absolutely convinced he was going to win a race. And, you know, well, he did, but it was a strange one, wasn't it? He's just might have a class edge here if he comes back to his best form over hurdles. He's off top weight, isn't he? It's an angle that I do like. It's hard to make a case from him from a form perspective, but he was rated like in the 140s, his absolute peak, and he's down to early 130s, isn't he? So it's not a race I've got a strong opinion on, but again, I won't be straying too far from those Skeltons this weekend.
Yeah, he's an 8-1 chance, is Pembroke. Ed?
Sorry. I've done a Graham, sorry. It's really cut up, this race. I think there was 17 earlier on in the week, and there's just, what, is there 8 now? So I was surprised. It's quite good prize money. Obviously, other reasons why the horses don't run, but it's made it easier for the horse that I'd fancy, which is one of the favourites in this race. They're second favourite at the moment, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up favourite, and that is Deploy to Spy, who is another horse who's running up a sequence. I said earlier on in this podcast that I like the Aintree form when you run at Doncaster, and obviously vice versa. And Deploy to Spy won at Aintree, won his first handicap last time at Aintree, having taken some novice events before that. That was off a rating of 118, runs today, or Saturday, sorry, of 125. I just thought there was a bit more improvement to come. You'd very much hope, if you were the trainer or the owner of this horse, that it'd be better than a 125 horse, having just had one race and a handicap. And I thought there were lots of reasons, such as he'll enjoy the going, he'll enjoy the track, to suggest that he was worth a go. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off favourite, although I know there are a few shrewdies that do fancy Alto Belli, who is vying for favouritism at the moment. But that's going to be my selection, Deploy to Spy.
Yeah, seeking a 4th straight win in a row and 4-1 to do so. Johnny, I think you are one of those shooties that Ed is referring to. Alto Belli for you, is it?
Well, it was, but his price wasn't 72 at the time. I still think he's potentially, you know, the one to be with here. But, you know, on his Ascot runs last season, I thought they were both very good. Obviously disappointed in the Betfair hurdle and hasn't been seen since, which would be of slight concern for me. But I do think he's sort of the horse. I think he's the horse where the race sort of most revolves around here. Which wouldn't be a strong selection, certainly not at the price. But I do think, based on the form and potential to to improve the most, I think he's the one for me. But at a bigger price, that I would have been a lot more tempted by him.
Yeah, he hasn't run for a long time. That's the sort of negative in him. But to his credit, I thought he ran very well at Ascot on his first run last year behind Knickerbocker Rory, who got the run of a race that day, really. It was good enough effort. And as you say, he's always promised the world and not quite delivered yet, but could be the chance, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Good. We will see what the boys' best bet is after the break and what else they like from around the rest of the racing.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, time to find out what else our panel like off the ITV action. And we'll start with you, Graham.
Yeah, I got a couple at Cheltenham. The opener is the juvenile hurdle, the JCB Triumph Hurdle Trial. And Lavender Hill Mob's going to be quite a short price. But I think he'll have to improve significantly on his first run when he turned over at 2-7 to beat the Gavin Cromwell train runner here, Total Look, who looked very good when he won at Navan first time out. I always get a lot of stick for the way I say Navan. It sounds like Northern, that's what you're supposed to say, but I like to call it Navan. And Total Look, yeah, was very good when he ran on strongly to win there. Now, Navan is a very stiff track, there's a lot of form crossover between Cheltenham and Navan. And I think that Total Look will absolutely relish this test at Cheltenham. And alongside Joyeurs, one of the bets of the day, actually runs in the following race, the 12:40 at Cheltenham, the Novice Limited Handicap Chase. I'll be staggered if Peaky Boy doesn't follow up his impressive victory at the course last month. He just looked so good that day. He jumped really well and he powered home over 2.5 to win really nicely. He's going up significantly in trip, but he should stay. He's got point-to-point form. Nicky Henderson was glowing about him afterwards, saying how much better he thought there was to come from Peaky Boy. And he looks a really good bet. I think he's won 3 in a row now at the track. He's one of those Cheltenham horses that's going to become a bit of a one of the old favourites around there, I think, Peaky Boy. I think you'd do worse than backing a Nicky Henderson double on Saturday, Peaky Boy, and the £30 well enjoyers later on the card.
Yeah, and just to clarify, that was Total Look in the 12:10 as well. I agree with you about that Novice Handicap Chase. That, for me, could be the race of the weekend. It's pretty strong, but Peaky Boy was so impressive at Cheltenham, and I'm sure Ed will correct me if I don't say that Nick Henson will talk through all his chances on his Unibet blog, including Peaky Boy. Johnny, what have you got for us?
There's an interesting race at Fairy House, the 11:30, kicking things off. It's a beginner's chase, but you've got last season's Triumph Hurdler winner, Mergeborough, for William Mullinsridge, and he's odds on at the minute. But, you know, he's also got second in there, Tully Hill, who's obviously highly touted for match of the season. And obviously, just for good measure, he's also trading the third favourite in Asian Master. But that looks a race to certainly keep an eye on and see what happens there. And yeah, that'll be it for me, to be honest.
Yeah, do you think that the Triumph winner is going to do you think he's going to progress a long way as a chase? I mean, he sort of looks like the scope, doesn't he? Is he one that you're looking at with a view to those Cheltenham races? Or?
Well, he did it with Factor File, didn't he? He came second in the Triumph. But I think, you know, if he's going down that path, I can't see any reason that it won't work for the time being, but we'll find out a lot more come Saturday, I'd imagine.
Yeah, fascinating race wherever we look in all corners of the country. And Ed, I know you've not got anything else for us, so let's move straight on to our naps of the weekend. And we'll start with you, Ed. What is the nap for you? Can you follow up Mr. Vango 11-2? Very well done last weekend.
Thank you. 2:05 Doncaster. I'm going to go for Does He Know, who likes the course, has been dropped a few pounds by the handicapper. Good to soft ground at the moment. If he came up softer, I'd really fancy him stronger, but I think he's worth the nap given the price he is at the moment as well. So that's my nap. Does He Know?
Yeah, in the 2:05 at Doncaster, and praying for a bit more rain to boost his chances. Johnny?
The Skyjack Hijack in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham. I don't think it's the strongest race, and I think he's probably going to win by a number of lengths, to be honest.
Yeah, hoping it will be win number 7 in a row. I'm going to go Alta Belli in the 3:15 at Doncaster Horse. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I'm trusting him to deliver once more. And Graham, I mean, won't take a shrewdie to work out what yours might be, given what we've heard on the podcast. Does yours happen to be in the 3:35 at Cheltenham?
Yeah, Joyous, 3:35, Cheltenham, £30 well in. I reckon this wins without coming off the bridle.
Love to hear it. And what you'll also love to hear is we have a little bit of a Christmas treat for you before the big day. Ed, you're going to be speaking to Nick Henson to find about all his horses over the Christmas period. We've got the King George, all that brilliant meeting, Cheltenham New Year's Day. I'm sure the yard are going to be full of big chances, and we'll get to hear from him, from the man himself.
Yeah, I'm going there on Monday afternoon, I'm glad to say. Normally, I have to get there 6 o'clock in the morning, which is quite difficult from where I live. But I'm going to do it in the afternoon. I'm going to take it nice and slowly and run through all his big entries for the Christmas period. He's got plenty to talk about. And hopefully, we'll be able to ask him about Constitution Hill, Sergino, John Bon, and the others in his stable. And that will be shown by us at Unibet Racing, but also in the podcast next week.
Yeah, certainly one to look out for. So thanks to Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson for their thoughts this week. As Ed alluded to there, make sure to join us again for that Nicky Henson insight, as well as our preview for the Long Walk meeting at Ascot. That'll be live at 7 p.m. on Thursday next week. As ever, we enjoy hearing from you for your weekend fancy. So do keep your thoughts coming in, as well as rate, review and subscribe to the show and wherever you're listening to us. But until next time, enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.